CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Fraser Howie, author of Red Capitalism. He is in Singapore, where it is a bright day. The towers of Singapore are glowing with the financing flowing through that wonderful city, financing that may, and this is a question, be benefiting from the confrontational relationship between Washington and Beijing, especially over the tariffs, the Trump tariffs that remain in place. Gordon, do I say that correctly? The tariffs from Donald Trump's administration have not been changed in any fashion by Joe Biden as of yet. Is that correct, Gordon?
That's correct, John. Catherine Tai, the U.S. Trade Representative, Robert Lighthizer's successor, says she's keeping them in place for now.
Fraser, a very good day to you. Is the fact of the tariffs in place, is that in any fashion a factor for Singapore and the other capitals of Southeast Asia? Good day to you.
Good day to you both. It's great to speak to you again. Yes, ultimately it is, because I think the tariffs speak to a bigger issue of simply engagement with China. And I would have thought that any sensible board of directors or CEO, if they're looking to do further investment globally, or within Asia, they're certainly thinking, can I afford, as it were, to be investing or expanding my presence in China? And if I am doing so, I've got to be very careful why I'm doing it. So you have seen, not necessarily that, you know, Singapore is a small place. People are not setting up large factory operations in Singapore. That Singapore is a service economy. It's focused on a very different part of the sectors. But there's definitely, a changing of flows. There's definitely, and it's slow, you know, these are deepening supply chains, but there's definitely a move which is saying that China isn't always my first choice, but it's China and somewhere else. Hong Kong, Singapore is seeing those flows coming more through financial flows, not through necessarily trade flows.
Gordon, you have a question for Fraser.
Fraser, if for some reason the United States and China were able to settle things and lift all the tariffs that they've imposed on each other, would these businesses that have benefited recently because of the quote-unquote trade war, would all that flow back into China, or is it to stay in places like Indonesia and elsewhere, Vietnam?
Well, I think, first of all, your premise is wrong, Gordon. As you know, there's no magic wand that is simply going to spirit away these problems. These are fundamental issues that the free world has with China. So in that sense, things are being solved quickly. But no, ultimately, again, if you've set up a business, whether it be Indonesia, Singapore, you've changed your flows, you're not immediately changing back. People are doing business where they find it's easy to do business. And I think what's probably going to come out of part of this is that China, as you know very well, Gordon, that China was always the lowest price or the lowest cost or the lowest price. But actually, there was a lot of hidden costs as well there because of the weakness of the rule of law, because of corruption, because of basically intellectual property theft. What appeared to be a very cheap price of doing business actually costs you a lot of headaches and a lot of time. So actually moving away from China will probably benefit many companies, and money won't naturally flow back there.
The reporting is across the board positive for Southeast Asia. The estimate from the Asian Development Bank, I'm following the reporting in the Straits Times, is that the GDP to grow 4.4% in 21, 5.1% in 22, mentioning Indonesia, mentioning Vietnam, mentioning Malaysia, mentioning Thailand. This looks like a boom. Is this a product of the pandemic return? Is this a product of the supply chain talk? Or is this a product of the confrontation? Can we tell, Fraser?
The answer is it's all of the above to varying degrees, but I also, at the same time, I wouldn't underestimate the very severe challenges that the region faces. You've obviously got pandemic concerns. You have the fact that most of these countries have largely closed their borders to one another. Singapore is largely closed to everyone except for nationals and foreign residents, permanent residents. There are hundreds of thousands of journeys a day between Singapore and Malaysia, which is right next door. That border's closed. Myanmar is descending into chaos, which borders Thailand. So there's certainly problems possibly afoot there. So it's a very unsettled outlook. Yes, there's an initial boom. Yes, it's benefited from China. Yes, the longer term prospects look good. But ASEAN and Southeast Asia do face a number of challenges. And the geopolitics is not going away. The tensions with China, which all these countries have, are also an added complication. And for the past 30 years, it's been economics all the way. And going forward, politics and geopolitics is going to play a much bigger role.
Gordon?
Fraser, if you go back to the 1970s, there was always this competition between between Hong Kong and Singapore for financial businesses. The tensions that you talked about just now include China exerting more control in Hong Kong. Has Singapore seen any financial businesses fleeing, going to Singapore or to other places in the region?
Definitely. What you have seen is a growing increase of people, certainly the super rich, setting up family offices here in Hong Kong, moving money out of, setting up businesses in Singapore, moving a portion of their money out of Hong Kong. But if it's not necessarily moving their money yet, certainly setting up a base here as a safe haven, if you like. So you are seeing that. The difficulty, though, is it's not a like for like, because ultimately, if your interest is doing business in China, then Hong Kong is part of China. It's stuck there on China. You can't get away from that. Singapore's 1,500 miles away, and simply that distance means you simply don't have the access that you do in Hong Kong. So yes, Singapore is benefiting, but Singapore simply cannot replicate what Hong Kong has done over the past 20 or 30 years.
You mentioned the pandemic, Fraser, and now the story in Europe is the pandemic sweeping through India. The route between India and the United States, India and the United Kingdom, India and Australia have been interrupted, the air route. The question here is, do we see similar outbreaks of the pandemic across the Southeast Asia? Do you hear stories? You say the borders are closed, but of course you can't seal borders like that. Do you hear stories of pandemics similar to Delhi?
No, thankfully, no. There seems to be very little evidence that things are that bad, as it were. I think also to remember in India that not to dismiss any of the real tragedy that's happening there. India has historically spent so little on healthcare that their health infrastructure is very poor. And this is a poor reflection of the government and the structure of health support in India. We thankfully don't see anything like that in Southeast Asia, and the borders and the flights are closed as much as they can for the moment. Singapore has basically closed down all traffic between itself and India and much of the subcontinent, other countries there, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Nepal. So other countries are likely following suit, but thankfully no signs of that for the moment.
Gordon?
Fraser, how is the financial business in Singapore these days, just apart from everything else we've been talking about? How are things been going?
We have about 2 minutes, Fraser. Well, Go ahead.
Sure. It's pretty well, actually, Gordon. I think after Singapore went into a pretty harsh lockdown of April, May of last year, when there were cases were still relatively few. That certainly shocked a lot of people, and there was a knock on the economy, certainly in the tourism sectors. But when it comes to finance, which is obviously a big part of the Singapore economy, things have gone on relatively smoothly. People have been able to work from home. Everyone has high-speed broadband. And things are, going along largely as normal. Obviously, you don't have in-person meetings. There's clearly restrictions. That aspect of the economy has not suffered at all. And financial markets, as you know, after the initial falls back in February, March, they've bounced back, and financial markets have had, shown some great performance. So a lot of the businesses here are doing very well. Certainly, some people are hurting. Singapore's got reserves to support some of those businesses and those individuals. But certainly in the financial sector, things are booming.
And we see, just 30 seconds, we see movement in and around Singapore. Is this permanent movement? Is Singapore now a new money center because of the loss of Hong Kong? We have less than 30 seconds.
It certainly benefits from that. Singapore, though, it's a very small island. It's very conscious about trying to manage the flow of foreign workers, even in the professional foreign workers. So it's not a one-way bet, but it's certainly benefiting from Hong Kong's problems.
Fraser Howie, the author of Red Capitalism. He is in Singapore, where it's a bright morning and the bright shining towers of the perfect city. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.